Welcome to Educator Forever, where we empower teachers to innovate education. Join us each week to hear stories of teachers expanding their impact beyond the classroom and explore ways to reimagine teaching and learning. Ethan Pierce, a serial entrepreneur and co-founder and CEO of Adaptive Reader, has transformed his early struggles with reading into a catalyst for innovation in education. A Harvard graduate and Mitchell Scholar, Ethan's journey from confronting his own reading challenges to spearheading Adaptive Reader underscores his commitment to making educational content accessible and engaging for all students. Through his work, Ethan leverages cutting-edge AI and thoughtful design to help students overcome reading difficulties and embrace learning in their native languages. His leadership at Adaptive Reader is driven by a vision to ensure no student is left behind because of language barriers or learning differences, making him a pioneer in creating a more equitable educational landscape. Welcome, Ethan. So glad to have you here with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, I'd love to have you explain to our audience what your project or your business, Adaptive Reader, is and why you decided to start it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So with Adaptive Reader, we're using a combination of large language models and native language speakers to take classic literature and translate it into 90 languages and multiple reading levels in English. And the goal here is really to make sure that we're making this literature accessible for everyone and giving every student the scaffolding that they need to comprehend the classics, both in their first language and also in English.
Yes, I love that. And I was lucky enough to get a little preview of what this looks like. And it's so cool to see the different supports for different students and the accessibility that the product provides. And I'd love to hear a little bit about what led you to develop this product, what challenges you experienced growing up, and what kind of inspired you to start this.
Yeah, 1,000%. I was one of those students who, end of third grade, hadn't learned to read, continued to struggle into middle school, and I was in those IEP classes. I had those pullouts. And I'm really grateful that, you know, a couple of teachers paid attention to me along the way. I had one teacher who, you know, took me home for dinner every Friday night in high school, a history. I don't know if that's still allowed, but
that's great.
I was so lucky to have these teachers take an interest in me. And I was lucky to go from really struggling to getting a full scholarship to Harvard. And I think looking back and looking at, you know, folks around me who didn't graduate from high school, who I was close to, and how different our lives are now, I'm so aware that if a couple of things had gone differently, my life could have been taken a dramatically different course. And so what's really important for me, I've had an opportunity to work in tech the last decade, and how can we use some of the technology developments? AI is very hot right now. How can we use this in a way that is really appropriate and acknowledges the limitations of the technology where it currently is, but provides the scaffolding for every student to be able to understand and to be able to see a path towards gaining both literary skills and fluency.
Yes, I love that. And I especially love thinking about how awesome it was that you had that experience with your teacher and how awesome it is of thinking about how you can bring that to more students. I also appreciate, as you were talking about, both the pros and cons of using technology in the classroom, and especially with AI. Like, there are great things that we can bring with this, and also some things that can't happen, you know, or limitations or things like that. So I appreciate you kind of bringing that up. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit more about the role of AI and technology in Adaptive Reader.
Absolutely. So AI is very central to what we do. It makes what we're doing scalable. So I think, you know, if we think back 10 years ago, even before the time of AI, like, this is a solution that I think has always had the opportunity to be impactful. We've seen companies like Newzella that have actually hired many people to go through and manually rewrite text at multiple reading levels and in multiple languages. But the ability to do that at scale with books that are hundreds of thousands of words long and across many languages. For example, the Portland High School in Maine, which is where I grew up, has 53 languages spoken in the classroom. NYC, Department of Education, I believe they had 151 languages spoken across across their districts in 2021. So we really lean on AI to these large language models to help us do that first pass. We incorporate 12 different large language models in the back end, and we've actually trained these AI to help do that first level of proofreading for us. So we're building in these quality control mechanisms, and we also use a variety of literacy indices. So you might be familiar with the Flesch-Kincaid scores or the Gunning-Fogg. So we've built all of this tooling in that helps our editors. We do hire actually English teachers for all of our leveled English versions. They go through their passage by passage and really make sure that we've retained those core elements. We don't take anything from the book. It's really important to us that this isn't about dumbing these books down. It is about changing the sentence structure and vocabulary that allows a student to approach it with from a place of confidence and understanding. And then where they can come together with that teacher, you know, from that zone of proximal development perspective, this is their opportunity. This is what they can do on their own. And we try and push them and encourage teachers to push them to, you know, you want to be building those skills. And then you can come together as a class with that teacher there as a support, and everyone can go through that original text already knowing what's happening, but being scaffolded to understand the really rich, beautiful language that the author wrote.
Yeah, the access and accessibility and, you know, really letting kids have the support they need to participate is so powerful. And I love how you're thinking about both how to use AI to really do things that, like you were saying, wouldn't be able to happen in a short amount of time, to say the least, you know, translating things not only to different reading levels, but also to different languages. But that also you still have that human and like teacher component of having a teacher come in and be like, is this really retaining the qualities of the text? And is this really going to support my students? So I think that mix is really powerful as well. And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, like, if a teacher uses this one of these texts in their classroom, like, what does that look like? Like, if I was teaching The Great Gatsby and I had students with different reading levels and different home languages, like, what would that look like?
Yeah, 1,000%. So I think one thing that surprises a lot of folks, I have a copy of one of our paperbacks right here. So this is The Scarlet Letter. We do have a digital version of this product. The students can go in there and they can select what level they want to read from, what language they want to read in. And one of the features that gets teachers really excited is the students can actually view the passage. We break down our text into these small bite-sized chunks. They can view it at that adapted language side by side with the original. Or they can view it in Mandarin or in Urdu, side by side with the English language version of the text. And so the understanding that they're building with this version that helps them access the content bridges over to helping them understand the text and language that everyone's using. And so all of our languages, all of our versions are available in paperback. And we even go so far as, you probably won't be able to see it here, but we have those passage numbers in our paperback books as well. So you as the teacher, let's say you want to get every student, maybe you have a mixed class where you have students from Vietnam and China and Pakistan, all in the same class with students from Spanish, you know, speaking Spanish and English. You can tell every student to go to passage 78 and they're at the same point in the story, no matter what language they're reading, or what reading level they're accessing the text at.
I think it's so powerful having that opportunity to all still be on the same page, that it's not saying that this group is going to go over here and work on something completely different. And I love how you built in the tools for a teacher to really manage that as well. And I know when we were talking before, you were saying like there are no special covers for students who are, you know, maybe at an adapted level, and that really that kind of normalizes that we're all reading the same book, but maybe just in slightly different ways.
1,000%. That's been something that's really integral to us, and it's super important to me. I remember being pulled out of those classrooms, and education is a psychological experience as much as anything else. And so one of the things that's so important for us is protecting student dignity. So that's why, you know, all of our covers, regardless of whether or not you're reading, you know, that Pashto or that Mandarin version, are exactly the same. And so you actually have to flip to the first page to see, okay, like, what reading level, what language is that? So that students don't feel called out. And, you know, at the end of the day, the reason that we read this literature, yes, it's for that rich language. And yes, we want every student to get to the point where they're able to appreciate that. But we're also reading these novels because their stories challenge us. They bring these critical thinking questions to mind about character development, about, right, like when we read Frankenstein, can we relate that to this fear that we have today of losing control of our technology and that balance, right? So those are the questions that everyone in the classroom can engage with from their own unique perspective, their own background. And so we try and make sure that everyone understands this story well enough to participate and develop those critical thinking skills.
Definitely. I think that's something that's missing so often from classrooms too, is being able to give all students access to those higher level questions and opportunities to analyze and connect to their own lives. And I love that here, you know, it's really about supporting students no matter what their level of English proficiency or their level of reading, you know, to be able to have that same level of questions. And I also just wanted to highlight how helpful I think it is in the digital version being able to see the original text side by side the adapted text and how that transfer can be really supportive for students. You know, I know that like when I'm reading something in Spanish, seeing something in English is very helpful for me to be able to go back and forth and really kind of analyze like, oh, what is the sentence structure like in Spanish versus English? Oh, what is that vocabulary word? And having that support right there.
1,000%. It's really interesting. It's one of my favorite questions or activities that teachers do with their students with these adapted versions. They ask them to do that side-by-side comparison of the original and one of our, you know, adapted versions. So our gold typically brings down the grade level by 2 to 3 grade levels, and our silver brings it down by 4 to 6 grade levels. So if you're working from a 10th or 11th grade text, you know, you're getting down to that 5th to 6th grade reading level. And they'll ask the students, hey, compare these two passages. What's different? What's different about the language? What's different about the sentence structure? And it's exciting to see the students dive into that. And it starts to open the bridge for them to say, oh, I can read, I can understand that more complex version. I can understand that vocabulary.
It feels like amorphous really sometimes. Yeah, so powerful. I mean, it feels amorphous sometimes to be like, oh, you're struggling in reading. You know, well, what does that look like to not be struggling? What does that look like to be on grade level? And for students, particularly, you know, older students, to be able to have that knowledge is so powerful, where it's no longer really like I'm using this adaptive text and being focused on that, but seeing it as a bridge so that everybody can access the grade level text.
1,000%.
Yeah, great. So I'd love to hear about the long-term vision for Adaptive Reader.
Yeah, absolutely. I think looking ahead, really our core is how do we make these texts, or really any text, accessible to all students, regardless of their background. So I think a couple of really exciting things. We've already sort of delved a little bit. We've soft launched our multilingual editions. So if you go to our website right now, you'll see that all of our texts are now in Spanish. And we've added a handful of other languages to some of our texts, including Urdu and Vietnamese, traditional or simplified Chinese. So we're going to be formally launching that in a couple of weeks. So we'll be adding a lot of languages, and looking forward, we're going to really try to support those schools like Portland High School in Maine with those 53 languages. How can we support every student, not only making sure that the text is translated in a way that's supportive, but we're also adding audio with AI-generated audio that sounds like a real person, so that they can, for students, we often hear, right, especially for newcomers, you know, they may be fluent in their first language, that L1. Many of them may not have had formal schooling, though. And so they're entering 9th or 10th grade with a lot of really great language that they do have. They have a rich vocabulary in L1, but they may not have reading fluency. So can we still leverage that first language to unlock meaning and help them to participate in class and start to unlock that English language learning?
I think that's super helpful, and especially having the option of different access points for different students and different supports to bring in. And then I'm thinking about, just the role of EdTech and how you see EdTech evolving, particularly in supporting educational disparities or inequities.
1,000%. I think what we're seeing right now, AI has some incredible potential. At the same time, we've done about 85 user research interviews over the past 12 months to understand teachers' experience and understand how we can build this product in a way that meets them where they're at. A couple of the really interesting things that we've noticed, over 90% of the educators that we interviewed preferred or strongly preferred to give their students paper versions of reading materials, whether that's printing them out or getting paperback. Because I think post-pandemic, there's sort of this pendulous swing back towards that. And especially when we hear students are in classrooms with 35 of their peers, mm-hmm. right? These large classes that teachers are being overwhelmed with, being able to get all of the kids off the screen and focused on that material is really important. So one thing that I'm really interested in for EdTech is there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening in terms of, AI tutors and chatbots and things like that, where I'm really excited to see more EdTechs and more innovators work in the space. Is how do we take the amazing personalization that AI can produce in terms of language, in terms of crafting questions and assignments that are really tailored to individual students? How do we bring that out of the screen as well and directly address some of these challenges that teachers face every day in the classroom? And so that's what I'm excited to see more of. And I hope there's a really rich discourse around that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's so much possibility there. And I think you've touched on this a little bit, but I'm curious how you see educators and technologists really collaborating in this next chapter of EdTech.
Yeah, great question. I think it's so critical. And for every EdTech person out there, go out. And the thing that we did, which when we started this, it was really funny. I went on a site called Upwork. I don't know if you've heard of it. Mm-hmm. And I hired 7 teachers to just sit with me for a 30-minute interview, not knowing anything about me, very anonymous. I told them, you're not going to offend me with anything you say. And I just asked questions. Right. And it was so helpful to have these people who weren't trying to impress me just tell about what they experienced every day in the classroom. And we've continued to build on that ever since. We're talking to educators constantly. I love those conversations. They're so valuable because educators bring that real lived experience. That's so critical to take what are often really well-intentioned and often really brilliant ideas and morph them into solutions that are classroom ready And that can be enabled without creating additional work and friction for those educators.
Absolutely. And I love that you started by talking with educators. That's something that in our business programs, we always talk about, you know, really connecting with the people you hope to help from the beginning. And we get so in our own heads sometimes of being like, oh, this is what I think would be helpful, that I think it's so important to build into anything that you're building, talking to people regularly who are the people who will be using your product. And I think thinking about teachers using this in their classroom too, I mean, anything that's great for teachers gives them autonomy too. So it's a tool that they can use, and it's never going to be used exactly the same in every classroom. And I think realizing, as you do, you know, that that's not the goal. And so hearing from teachers about the many different ways that they might adapt Adaptive Reader for their various purposes too. And so I'm curious also about just your process of building Adaptive Reader and what you've learned about yourself through building this product.
Yeah, so I'm a third-time founder now.
Congratulations.
It's always an adventure every step along the way. And I think one thing that I've learned over the years is how bad I was at doing user research. Early on, and now I feel like it's such an area of strength to sort of recognize the humility, in a way, of just how little you know going into these conversations and how much you can learn from every one of them if you don't get in the way of them answering the questions. I think it's really easy for us to lead the horse to water to the answer that we want in these questions, and I've done it, and I'm sure I'll do it again many times. But just going in with that open curiosity and humility to those conversations, and really inquiring to what's happening now, is something that I think leads to really exciting new insights.
Wonderful. Yeah. True collaboration, you know, really getting all different points of information and using that going forward can be so powerful. And then along with that, kind of the flip side for teachers out there who are maybe thinking about doing something on their own or going into ed tech, what advice would you give educators who want to transition into the field of ed tech?
Great question. So we've been lucky enough to hire several folks who are our former teachers to come and help us. And wow, I'm always like blown away by how multi-talented teachers are.
Yes.
I sometimes think about it this way, like in what other job do you have like 120 direct reports?
Yes.
I am continually blown away by educators. I think where there's an opportunity is to go out. I loved the folks that we worked with. We just, you know, even from our user interviews, these were folks that were just like putting themselves out there and starting to engage with ed techs in really low friction ways. And then they would follow up and just say like, hey, you know, if there's ever anything else you need, let us know. And some of those people have become our editors, and we're so lucky to have them because they bring so much value. And so I think similarly, coming from a place of curiosity and going out there and finding where ed tech folks are and finding where you can come in with a place of curiosity to understand, you know, what are the problems that they're facing day to day, and how can you lend your expertise.
I love the focus on curiosity. I mean, I think that often it can feel like doing anything new, especially professionally, you know, being like, oh, I have to do it this right way, you know, or like make these connections or something like that. But it's really about authentically connecting with people who are doing things that you feel aligned with. And so that kind of takes the pressure off, right? But like, yeah, not everybody's going to be a good fit, or not every project's going to be a good fit for whatever you believe about education or what your passions or focuses are. But really having that sense of curiosity as a guiding light, you know, as you explore different things and kind of let different relationships unfold.
Yes, 100%. And hopefully it will lead to something really fulfilling for each person who's starting out on that journey.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, it was so nice to talk with you, Ethan. Can you tell our audience where they can connect with you or find out more about Adaptive Reader?
Absolutely. So if you go to adaptivereader.com, you're also welcome to email me at ethan@adaptivereader if you have questions or just want to say hello. Always happy to meet educators.
Wonderful. And we'll put all the links in the show notes as well. Thanks so much, Ethan.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ready to find rewarding, impactful work in the education world? Take our free quiz to discover your next right career step. Will you be a curriculum developer, an education consultant, instructional coach? The list of possibilities goes on and on. Take the quiz to find out the best fit for you at educatorforever.com/quiz. You'll also receive customized resources to kickstart your dream career and life.